call by it. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
Acts chapter 7, let's get in there. Are you ready for the word? Sure. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse... What did we read the last time? 31? 38. So let's go to 38. I was about to say, let's read from 1. But I give you the one from... All right, so 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So I've been talking to you about since, when was that, Friday, right? What are we talking about? We're talking about God's, the local church, God's plan, the plan of God for the local church, all right? Okay, so now we want to have a walk through in the Old Testament and understand God's idea for the church. Praise the name of the Lord. What it means when God talks about the church. What is the church? Tell somebody, ask somebody, what is the church? Hallelujah. See, somebody say the church is where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord. Now, that's true. Some people say church is a society. Opa, no, I join it. Hallelujah. You know, we used to win souls and then we tell the souls that find a Bible-believing church and go. But do you know, almost every church say they believe in the Bible. But when you go in there, it's not the same. Hallelujah. Now, so this is the first time the word is used, the church. And this is Stephen preaching. And Stephen was telling the people, he was making defense of his faith. And he tells them that what was in the wilderness was God's church or the congregation in the wilderness. That is, a certain people who have been called out and have been organized and put together by God and for God. Praise the name of the Lord. And so he calls it the church of the wilderness. Now, if we really want to understand God's definition and God's perspective of what the church is, he foreshadowed it in the Old Testament. Praise the name of the Lord. And the church in the Old Testament started when God decided to call out. Because you see, the term church is from the Greek word ecclesia. And ecclesia simply means selected from the many, all right, for a certain purpose. So the word ecclesia is not actually a Christian word. It was a word of the day that means to call out. So we have a congregation of people here. Then I say, all right, Martin, I forgot to know your names. See, so then I call a certain group of people. Then I say, you have been selected out of the many. Hallelujah. For a reason, for a purpose. Are we together in this place now? So when we talk about a church, it is people that God has specially selected for a setting agenda. Praise the name of the Lord. So whenever you are talking about the church, you are talking about people who have been called out. And God foreshadowed that in the Old Testament when he called Abraham. Abraham chapter 12, which is Genesis chapter 12. So let's go to Genesis 12. And the Bible says, and the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house. I can teach a lot on that. But, you know, for the sake of time. And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Praise the name of the Lord. So, now, Abraham belonged to a family that worshipped the sun god. All right? They worshipped the sun god. And God's voice comes into the family of these people or the family of people who worship idols, and God talks to Abraham. In fact, we don't have time. But you see here, King James says, now the Lord had said. It means that this is not the first time God was speaking, all right? So God has spoken to Abraham. You get out of your father's house. Get out of your family. Get out of your kindred. Get out of your country. So that's the idea. When you see, let me make a very strong statement. When God calls you, now when God calls you, I'm not talking about when you are becoming a pastor. When God calls you, that is when you become born again, you are a loss to your family. Your family has lost, they've lost you. They've lost you to God. That's something you don't hear these days. All right. Yeah, like you have been lost. They have to do a funeral for you. You are gone. Because when God catches you, he does not leave you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And that's why when people become born again and they are not able to detach. Now, the detaching goes beyond just going to find a house and going to stay there. I'm talking about when your whole life is run. Because when God calls you, God will tell you things that will oppose the ideas and the plans that men have for you. Look at me here. I should have been a doctor, but look at where I am now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's because God called me. If God didn't call me, if you were seeing me, then maybe you are sick and I'm injecting you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, when God calls you, there must be the conscious effort to detach. Now, the detachment is not to hate your family. That's not what I'm talking about. Because you cannot be a Christian and hate your own family. Yeah, I mean, that's why if you go to some churches and what have you, and they say this father is a witch, the mother is a witch, and this, so don't talk to your father, don't talk to your mother and stuff like that. It doesn't make sense. That's not the spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Why are you doing your face like you don't like what I'm teaching? I say praise the Lord. I want me to sound you. What is that? Hallelujah. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you because you have found Jesus now. Your grandmother is a witch. Me, if my mother is a witch, I will eat with her. If you put it inside, now she go collect. You understand what I'm talking about? Look at what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2. I will come here. I just want to show you something. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2, 6. And let's begin from 5. All right, let's begin from 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us. Who has quickened us? Let's begin from 4. We have to know who has quickened us. Oh, and I'm about, yeah. We have to know the quickening. But God, who is rich in mercy. You can't begin a statement with but. So let's go to 3. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past. Among what? So we go to 2, right? Okay, so 1. And you had he quickened. Do you understand? And you had he quickened. Who were dead in... You see, it makes sense now. So that's how you study the Bible. In trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, so in time past in sin, you walk according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Come on, say, but God. So, but God, who is rich in mercy. God who is rich. Hallelujah. Tell someone God is rich. See, there are things God is poor in. And there are things that he is rich in. One of the things that he is rich in is mercy. In other words, his mercies are boundless. You can't go beyond God's mercy. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Now, so he says, who is rich in mercy? How do we see the richness of his mercy? By his great love, by how he has loved us. Hallelujah. Verse 5. So even when we're dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace he has saved. 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is where the Christian is placed. This is where the Christian is enthroned. Hallelujah. So you cannot be a Christian. I mean, you are seated with Christ. How far is Christ? Chapter 1, 18. The same book, chapter 1. I just want to show you this so that we all agree that we are in church this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his... Give it to me in NIV or NLT or any of these versions that won't go to heaven. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Do you understand? Say, I'm not ordinary. Next verse. And his... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his incomparably great power for us who... Everyone that believes in Jesus has the greatest power of God. I want to say that again. When you believe, see, the King James used a very wonderful word. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Word, you get it? Now, it is like directed to you. It means that when you believe, God's greatest power is directed to your direction. Do you get it? God, how many of you know how this, when we're in school, there's this thing, there's a magnifying glass or something. You see, so you put a rubber down and the sun is shining, but nothing is happening to the rubber. But the way you put that glass and you focus it on this thing, that it will begin to melt. So when you believe, it's like the power of the sun, all of them is captured into the magnifying glass and is focused on you. So the Bible says, those of us who have believed, to us what is the exceeding greatness of God's power. So you cannot be a Christian and walk in fear. You can't be a Christian and be scared of who is a witch and who is a wizard. Praise the name of the Lord. See, if, let me tell you something, eh? If there's such a thing as that, witches rather should pray to God so that we don't come close to them. Because we are the dangerous ones. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We are the dangerous ones. Come on, say, we are the dangerous ones. We are the dangerous ones. We are the dangerous ones. No, do you understand what I'm talking about? We are the dangerous ones. We are the dangerous ones. Understand that. So you can't, if you have believed in Jesus and then you are living in fear because someone will come and catch you in the night, it's not true. See, the Bible says it is, my people perish because they lack knowledge. It's not because they lack power. You can be so much full of power, but when your mind is not working, the enemy will beat you. Are we together in this place? The day you see a mouse chasing a cat, the cat does not have a strength problem. The cat has a knowledge problem. The moment the cat realizes that I am a cat and turns to face the mouse, I'm telling you, the mouse will finish. He won't run. He will finish. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born again.
Born again.
Some of you, some of you are looking at me funny. Adena AGN and one American. I am born again.
I am born again.
See, so we'll get into the teaching right now. But so you understand,
He says that power is the same as the mighty strength. Next verse. Oh my God. He exerted. So it's an exertible power. It's a power that is it's a power that doesn't stay. It's a power that can be exerted. It's a releasable power. And the Bible says that it's the same power which he used when he raised Christ from the dead. And you see, we always talk about the power in raising Christ from the dead. But then the Bible says that there's another power. You see, there's another side of the power. That power raised him, number one. That same power is the same power. Do you get it? That seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. I don't have time to talk about it. I can't talk about that today. Because when we're talking about the enthronement, the power that has enthroned Christ. That's what he's talking about. And do you know what that means? There can never be a coup d'etat for Jesus to be dethroned. It can't happen. There can never be a coup d'etat. You can't coup d'etat and take Jesus out of where he is. There is a sustaining power. And the Bible says what has enthroned Christ is all of God. All of God's power put together is what has enthroned him. And the kofratastar and the power that has enthroned Christ is the power that is directed to you. Say, I'm a chosen. I'm a chosen. You power, who are you? Glory to God now. Yeah. So something is directed to us. And it's called the greatest power of God. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? So now I'm just trying to explain to you why the calling out is not like you are called out of a family means that don't go there and all of that. No. So let's go back to the calling out. So the calling out is God taking you out of the ideologies that have raised you, which are contrary to the ideologies of God. Come on, are we together in this place? So when he said, get thee out of thy family, quickly go there. Get thee out of thy kindred. When he said that, he was talking about, first of all, a mental shift. A mental shift. See, what dream you dream out to me soon? So God, when God saves you, the first thing is your mind, this mind, the things you have accumulated over the years, which are contrary to God, there must be a shift in your thinking. Praise the name of the Lord. You can't tell me that you are going for your family festival when we have church service. It means you have not left. Also, Pastor, I mean to me, Mami Kodra. No, so it means that there is no, your mind has not been shifted. Do you understand? Your mind has not been shifted because it is a getting out. You can't sacrifice Odra for you can't sacrifice church for Odra. And so I can't come to church. They say, it's my girlfriend's birthday. No, these are things that are happening in Christians' life. But look at what he told Abraham. Go to what he told Abraham. All right? Get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy country. Somebody asked a question. When they are voting, if it falls on Sunday, that's why the Bible says, get thee out of thy country. Okay. Where are you? So, maybe I'm a tour banner, ewa. No, get thee out of thy country. And then he says, unto a land, not unto a land your father has shown you, not unto a land your mother has told you about, but unto a land I will show you. He's talking about, now when you get out, you are going to move with me alone to where I will show you. Now I lead you, I direct you, I give you a destination, I give you a place, I give you a land. Come on, are we together in this place now? So you cannot be born again and then be walking anyhow and be leading and be finding your own land. Do you understand? So the foreshadowing of the church is that, first of all, when we talk about the church, it is a getting out. Now, I say the church is not the building. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about gospel waves. I'm talking about you as a Christian. When you get born again, are we together in this place? When you get born again. So when you get born again, there is a getting out. Hallelujah. And God foreshadowed that in Abraham. So it's a getting out and a walking with God to a land that he will show you. So it means that when you get born again now, the one who leads you is God. The one who directs you is God. The one who gives you a direction for life is God. Hallelujah. Next year, I'll be teaching about how to be led by the Spirit. I will come back to this scripture and we'll scatter it. So this one is one. Now let's go to Exodus. Then God foreshadowed the church, what the church is, his definition of the church, he foreshadowed it in Exodus. So now let's go to Exodus. If you're there, say I'm there. Oh, you don't know which part of Exodus I'm talking about. Oh. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter somewhere, verse somewhere. Now let's go to, let's begin from chapter 3. All right, let's begin from verse 7. You are going to read, so get ready. Verse 7, 1, 2, go. Verse 7 downwards, 1, 2, go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Continue. All right, let's go to the 7 again. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. There's verse. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians. So God is forming a church, all right? And the formation of the church begins with people in bondage, all right? And God decides that these are going to be my people. Now, these people are in bondage. These people are under slavery. Hallelujah. Receiving all kinds of punishment and all of that. But then God says, I am come down to deliver. It means that the beginning step, all right, of the church starts from deliverance. What I mean to say is this, that the church is a delivered body. So God foreshadows that when I talk about the church, I'm talking about people who have been taken away from the hand of their taskmasters. Those who have been delivered from bondage. Those who have been delivered from the oppressor. Now, what that means is that the moment we are talking about the church, we are talking about people who were in bondage, and God's power, we'll look at that, God's power entered into the stronghold of where there was bondage and broke them free from their bondage. So now, when we talk about the church, then the church is going to be people who are free from every kind of bondage. Ah, okay. You came to church small. So let's read that again. Let me read that again. It says, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So God is saying that salvation is going to be like this. I'm going to go to the earth, because all these things is talking about Christ, his salvation, and his church. All right? Forget about Moses and all these people. So God is saying, this is how salvation is going to be. The people who are in bondage, the people who are in the hand of the oppressor, people who cannot free themselves, people who cannot complain, people who have become helpless, people who are hopeless. Now, I will step in, and when I step in, I will step in with my power, and I will take them away from the hand of their oppressor onto a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I don't have time to explain that, but I'll take them onto a land. It means that salvation is deliverance from the hand of an oppressor and being planted in God's own land. I want to say that again. So when we say somebody is saved, or when we say somebody is part of the church, we are talking about somebody. Now listen, when you believe in Jesus, when you confess the Lordship of Jesus, when you give your heart to Jesus, what happens is that you are taken away from the hand of the oppressor and you are planted into the land of God, or the land that God has designated for you. Come on, hallelujah now. So Colossians 1 says it better. Let's go to Colossians 1:13. Colossians, somebody said. Colossians chapter 1. Let's begin from 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, in other words, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So now, from the power of darkness, what do we mean by the power of darkness? We're talking about the hand of the Egyptians. Come on, are we together in this place? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So from the hands of the Egyptians, from the hands of Pharaoh, from the hands of the oppressor, from the hands of death. So he says salvation is deliverance. Deliverance from the power of darkness. So if I am saved, if I have believed in Jesus. Listen, when God was saving the children of Israel from the Egyptians, God did not just go and said, "Hello, Pharaoh, it's time for my people. All right, thank you so much for taking care of them all these years. Yo, call my people, let's go. Bye." That's not what happened. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God entered into Egypt by a strong hand. It means that, my God, I want to scream. Listen, it means that by the time God announces that you are the saved, it means that all the power of that which was oppressing you has been destroyed. The powers are not destroyed. All right? God does not say you are the saved until he knows every power is destroyed. Come on, are we together in this place? So if you can say, when you say, "I am saved," or "I believe in Jesus, I am saved," what are you saying? I am that one person that every power that used to hold me, God has destroyed it. In other words, it does, listen, oh my God. When God delivered the children of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, they followed them. After all the miracles, Pharaoh still followed them. And you see, the children of Israel saw them coming. And you see, God gives a crazy instruction. Let's go to Exodus 14. Shout it, "I am saved."
I am saved.
Oh, some of you are not in church. I say, shout it, "I am saved."
I am saved.
I am that one. When you say, "I am saved," you say, "I am that one that no power can hold me captive, because every power that has the power to hold me captive has been destroyed by my Savior." Are we together now? So if they tell you, "Oh, the family that you're coming from, your grandmother is a witch, your mother is a witch, your sister is a witch, your cousin is a witch, your father is a witch, your father's father's father is a witch, your father's sister's father, brother is a witch," you are the only person who is not a witch. Then you declare, "I am saved." No, you do that with, like, you lift one hand and say, "I am saved." In other words, even if you put me in the dungeon, if you put me in the shadow of death and darkness, I am the saved one. Glory. Come on, shout it, "I am saved."
I am saved.
Come on, "I am saved."
I am
No chains are holding me. Come on, say, I am saved. No chains are holding me. Now, Exodus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Michdal and the sea, over against Baal-Ziphon. I don't have time. I've explained this thing before. But you see, where God led these people to, that was where Egypt had power. The names mentioned, the Baal-Ziphon was a place for one of their mighty gods. Do you understand? And all these places, and on top of that, at the stronghold of the enemy, there is no way. The only way is they going back. And the back that they have to go to, the enemy is coming on chariots. And they are coming. Now let's follow the story. Verse 3 now. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, so God knows why I brought you there. For Pharaoh will say of the Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. Glory to God. So if I am delivered from Egypt and I find myself at a place that it looks like I am shut in, it's a trap. I am never shut in. Why? Let's continue. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I explained that. What do you mean by I'll harden? Because people have a lot of questions. Why would God harden somebody's heart? Why would you harden? And I told you that. Don't look at Pharaoh. Look at you. Do you understand? Why did God harden? What is the meaning? What is the meaning? I'll harden Pharaoh's heart. What's the meaning? Those of you who are in church on Friday. What does it mean? For the multiplication of his power. Do you understand now? Okay. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Next verse. 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Kabai. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Ziphon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, has thou taken us to die in the wilderness? So you think when we die in Egypt, we are plenty, so they can't bury us. So you brought us to a safe place to die. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us? Leaders are always troubled. To carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto them, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. You just know that Moses is putting up words together. Look at that. He says, go back to 13. You will see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That looks like a very good encouragement, right? And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? It's power time. Why are you crying unto me? He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. What an instruction. So right before them is a sea, and God says, tell the children of Israel to march forward. I'm saved.
Come
on, I'm saved. So the deliverance will continue. The deliverance of Egypt, of Israel from Egypt, is not, God did not go to lure or, you know, he didn't go to lie. He didn't go to lure them. Pharaoh, Charlie. You have to understand these things. You know, we'll be smoke a cry a year, man, 400 years now. Charlie, let them go. No. Power. And that foreshadows how God saves. That foreshadows when God says, I'm delivering, what it means. So sometimes Christians make it look like, when God says he has saved us, he was joking. Hey, I know I'm saved, though. I know I'm saved, but Charlie, please. Charlie, let me go and do that country and be free. Charlie, let me do that country and be free. Say, what is that country? Say, we should bring a bodges or you should put pepper inside. And then we put pepper inside the body. They put it, and then we should grind the hot one to put it inside. Then we write the name of our enemy, we put it inside the bottle, then we shake it. No. You see why I sang of our spices? I'm delivered. Come on. I said, I'm delivered.
I am delivered.
Even if you see me at the stronghold of the enemy, the narratives can't change. I'm the delivered one. Are we together? No, if you see me at the stronghold of where the enemy is the strongest. No, Ayeko Sapra Gadavasaya. I am the delivered one. In other words, all the seeming powers of the enemy, if I know my Bible, I will just know that it is broken. It cannot come back to me. No. Hallelujah. No, think about it. You were in the family. You could have been killed by a witch. Now you are born again, tongue talking, kolabasai. And then you are there, and then you, stop it. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Say, demonic arrows don't work on me. No, I know some of you are in church, you are looking at my face. Don't worry. Keep quiet. You keep quiet. Shout it. Demonic arrows don't work on me. Say,
my Savior
has neutralized all the powers of darkness. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. So listen. There is a certain circumference around my life. The arrow that is shot at the enemy's camp is very powerful. And as it is coming, it's still powerful. But the very moment it enters Katosta, the power is neutralized. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So my life cannot be taken away from me. A witch cannot kill me. Because I am saved. You see, it's not because I am powerful. It's because somebody has saved me. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. This is my reality. Hallelujah. It should never change. Don't outgrow these things. Hallelujah. Don't outgrow these things. No, don't outgrow these things. Don't outgrow these things. I walk upon snakes and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy because I belong to the church of Jesus Christ. The most powerful institution in the world. See, let me tell you something. Can I get two people here? I need one person. One person should come. Okay, so let's say Esther is being beaten by Rabbi. Do you get it? Danny is stronger than Rabbi. Then Danny goes to collect Esther from Rabbi. Then Danny to there, somebody bigger than Danny. Hey. Commander come. Then Commander 2 arises. And he goes, so this one goes to the boss and say, boss, this guy, so he also go and beat him. Say, friend, go back to where you are coming from. So you go back to where you are coming from. This guy is beating. Then this one to get angry. Go and who is stronger than Commander in this place? Then they also come. They also come and beat commander. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Then it's beating, it's beating, it's beating. It means that as long as there's somebody stronger than your savior, the security of your salvation is not so sure. So we were not saved by one of the greatest people. We were not saved by one of the mighty people. We were saved by the Almighty God. Are we together in this place? So when he took us out of the hand of the enemy, there is no stronger one. Sit down for two. There is no stronger one. Now, take me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Shout it, I am saved.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I said, shout it, I am saved. Look at the brother or sister by your side. Say, brother, look at me. I'm saved by God. Let's go to 28. See, this is what makes Christianity not a religion. If Muhammad saves you, death can kill him. If Buddha saves you, death can kill him. You understand what I'm talking about? Oh my God, hallelujah. But when it is Jesus, I said, when it is Jesus, the Bible says he overcame death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know my Savior. I know my Savior. I know my Savior. I know my Savior. Look at that. Now, this is Jesus talking. He says, and I give unto them eternal life. My God. And they shall never perish. The word never in the Greek is ome. It means not under any circumstance. Not under any circumstance. He says, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So there is no power, there is no strength that can take you out of the hand of God. We are tattooed in his hands. Tattooed in his hands. Glory to God. And so you have to understand that. This is what it means when he says, I am your savior. Glory to God. There is no stronger one. There's no stronger one. So even if you came to Christ and you were born to the most powerful shrine. No, I mean, I were going for missions one day, and we met one lady who was learning how to be a fetish priest. Even them, they go to their own school. Can you imagine that? And she said that she was in church. She was in church. She was in Presby. Because that's what she said. That's what I'm saying, the name of the church. And while they were doing praises, then the spirit took her. And I said, so that day, where was your pastor? You are mad. You, the spirit, and the owner of the spirit, all of you are mad. I'm telling you. Like, we will close the service. I will beat you. I will cast it. I will nail you. And I said, it is not true. Were you born again? I said, hey, you're born my students. No, that's what I'm talking about. Because when the Holy Ghost is inside you, I don't know, it doesn't work like that. Praise the name of the Lord. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't, because you see, when we see this church thing, who did the agro and agro be do? I'm telling you, who did the agro? I said, oh, sorry. Who did the agro? I got sorry. Then bomb, bomb, like bomb, surely. No. Understand that this thing is power. The realities of the church is power. The church is a delivered body, it's a delivered entity. So if you belong to the church, you are delivered. You are delivered. I told you about the story that we went for missions, and at You see, when you get to Nkunkrum, there's a village be there. Dumpong, good. And into Obuadaka. I was talking to somebody, then I saw some brothers. They had held their hands and they were praying for someone. I saw a girl, they were praying for the girl. So then one brother, when the brother saw me, he was calling me, So I rushed there. I said, what do you have here? What is the case? I said, the girl was going to write BC. And, you know, when they are having those things, they would have to go to school early and those kind of things. And she was the first person at the school. Then she saw a whirlwind. Then, a coma fan. Then I said, how? I said, yeah. That was the mom. And I said, do you believe that her spirit can go? So they were actually, the next week, they are taking her to the school. The spirit that took her, the spirit has a school. Even spirit, even this thing. So I said, all right, she's not going to go to the school again. That spirit will be casted out here today. She'll go and write her exam and pass and go to school. And you know that kind of believe that is like, I believe, I help my own belief. Yeah. The woman said, amen. 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 No, I didn't want to say that. But on person who say on yindi, and on person on home is benya issue. I said, amen. Then I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you created us. We are for you. No spirit has the right to take control of our lives in the name of Jesus. So as I was saying that, I was just led to put my hand on there. Like I was going to put my hand on the, where pump on me, everyone. It's not here. This is forehead, but here. The nurse has helped me. Where is this? This place is called. Huh? You know. So the moment my hand was going, then the mother said, hey, Pastor Mpachojai. No, I said Mpachojai. It says out. Who born you by that? Come out. Come out. Hey, come out, come out, come out. I come out. I said, the next thing is that you have to pray in tongues. You have to pray in tongues because I have to make sure that spirit will not come and disturb you again. So you have to collect the spirit of God right now. Hot one. Yeah. I said, Afa. You understand what I'm talking about? And the brothers went for follow-up. Brajo was at them. And the girl had finished writing the BC. Was waiting for the results. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I am the saved. I am the saved. I am the saved. So it does not matter the family you're coming from. The moment you get born again, see, you are not going to be saved. I know, that you are saved, you are going to be saved, you will be saved. I've explained that. It's not this one I'm talking about, the saved. You cannot be saved. And then there is still an existing power that is powerful enough to torment your life. Because when we say you are saved, according to the church in the wilderness, when we say you are saved, it means that all the powers of your oppressors have been neutralized. So how did you get saved and still somebody is doing you? How? How did you get saved? And after being saved, you are telling me that so you have a dream. Somebody came to sleep with you, somebody came to sleep with you in a dream. Did you accept a proposal? Did you go to propose to anybody? No. Shout it! I'm the saved of the Lord.
I'm the saved of the Lord.
No. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So he says that I give them eternal life; they shall not perish. No man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. That's a serious thing. That's a serious thing. No, you are there 23. Now from Bayo. 29, 31, 32. Then the pastor will preach and say, "Nyame de ye nu and I want sign Aji. Or just 32, no, they need to go and see another new coach. Now, I want you to understand it. Before we pray, we are going to pray right now. We'll close church very soon. I have one or two things to share, then we'll get out of here. So the church in the wilderness is a church that every power of the oppressor is neutralized. Pharaoh may come, but we know the end. He will be swallowed up. Let's go to Pharaoh's matter. 14. That's why I was saying that there is a certain, is this circumference or radius? Hey, we've learned things. So go to where we were. Go to 16. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying service this morning? No, go to 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, march forward, march forward. Sons of God, march forward." Now, some of you didn't go to Pentecost. Sons of God. And now it's not Pentecost. It's Pentecost, eh? Sons of God. March for. That's all crowd. Hey. Can you serious? But lift up thy rod. He said, lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Let's continue. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I'll get me an upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, may say, there is a certain radius or circumference or diameter. The church in the wilderness teaches us that when the thing comes and it gets to a certain diameter, something will move from the front and go to the back. I want to say that again. I said the church in the, we will talk about the church in the New Testament, but I want you to enjoy the one in the Old Testament first. Hallelujah. It teaches us that when God has saved you and he's leading you on, and there is any form of attack, something will move from before you and go to your back. Say, I don't perish. Young boy, you are doing church, you are doing ministry, small ministry, you are doing 28, you are dead. Why? They say you had kidney issue. I don't perish. Are you understanding that? I don't perish. Why? Because the idea of God, God's definition of the church is what we are seeing here. It's a church when God is with them, you can't do anything to them. It can't work. And let me tell you what, the children of Israel have not been trained in the army. They have not been trained in the army. But you just cannot beat them down. Why? Because they were saved by God. So who is your savior? Come on, who is your savior? Your savior doesn't need powder to protect you. He doesn't need sobolo to heal you. He doesn't need virgin oil to do something for you. The Bible says, greater one lives in you. Greater is he that is in you. See, this reality says, when it looks like things are challenging your faith, shoot those scriptures. By the time you realize, you are fine. greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No matter the turbulence around my life, there is something greater right there in my spirit. Say, I move. God knows what he has given to us. When the Bible says that, and to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us, I believe the guy taught from here. So God knows the kind of power that has been directed to you. So God can look at you shut in the wilderness and still tell you, march forward. March forward. God should have just said, don't worry. By the time you realize you are at the promised land, God said, no. You see the sea, march through it. You will not be swallowed. You will walk in the, he says, you walk in the midst of the sea on a dry land. That's prophetic. In the midst of the sea on a dry ground. In the midst of, this is a word to somebody. In the midst of the sea on the dry ground. Hallelujah. Yobarava Sataya Davashaya. In the midst of the sea, in the midst, it's in the midst, still in the midst, but the dry ground is assured. In the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. He will not take away the scorpions. He will not take away the snakes. He will not take away the powers of the enemy. He tells you, walk in the midst of them. Walk. Walk in the midst of them. Walk in the midst of them. And as you walk in the midst of them, you will not be walking in the sea. You will not be drowned. It will be a dry ground. I speak over your life in the name of Jesus. You are the church of Jesus Christ. The sea will not deter you. Mountains will not deter you. Kadabaya, you march forward. You march forward. You march forward. It is not ending. It is not stopping. You are marching on. You are marching on. You are marching on. Come on, lift up your voice in the next 2 seconds. Hallelujah. Say, I march forward. You came to church, shouted, I march forward. I march forward. So this church, the church of Jesus Christ I'm talking about, it's not a church that stop their movement because there are obstacles. I want to say that again. It stops because there are obstacles and there are issues. The church in the Old Testament teaches us something. That the people who are delivered by God in the face of obstacles that should obstruct their movement, they still have what it takes to walk in the midst of the obstacles on a dry ground. Let me tell you something. The sea was congealed. He made the sea like a wall. Let me tell you what. Another thing that the church in the Old Testament foreshadowed was that the thing that kills people can't kill us. And that is foreshadowed in Noah. The same flood that was consuming the world was the flood that was propelling the church. Are we together in this place now? Hallelujah. So if you are the delivered of the Lord, Like how he delivered Noah and placed them in the ark. You will understand. When there is a casting down for men, there's a lifting up for you. When people are dying at your side, left, right, front, center, you should tell yourself, I'm not a victim. Why? Because there is something about me. I hold on to the truth given to me. Are we together in this place now? I'm carried. I'm led. I march forward. Come on. I march forward. I march forward. I march forward. So don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. In our family, we die at the age of 42. You are part of the church now. So hold this knowledge in your head. Hold it in your mind. You are not beef. You are not body. You are not flesh. There is a spirit that is at work in your members, in every fiber of your being, and in every area of your life. Lift up your right hand now. Say, thank you, Father. Oh, come on, like you came to church. Say, thank you, Father. I affirm. I affirm that I am delivered. As I lift up my voice, praying in the Holy Ghost, I affirm my deliverance. I affirm my redemption. I affirm I am redeemed. I am bought. I've been delivered from the hand of the oppressor. I declare in the name of Jesus, my liberty is mine, and no man can take it away from me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Shabaraka satala bahasa. Balakoske telebo shabalagada labaha. Remenongoske pragada basai. Koshabadaba. I need help here. Mon telegrade sopalade. Come on, lift up your voice. Moske parade ascende. Libara kose telebo shabaha. Rendele bekato shabahaya. The Bible says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men. Come on. Open your mouth and pray in tongues. Open your mouth. It is coming upon you. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Lift up your voice and affirm your redemption. Affirm it. Affirm. Affirm your deliverance. Affirm your deliverance. Affirm your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Affirm. Affirm. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Thank you. on, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to pray for the last time. My going in, my going out, and my coming in, I affirm the truth of God's word. He who the Son set free is free indeed. This is my reality. I affirm in prayer one more time that my going out and my coming in are safe, sound, and secure. Because I'm saved by God, all the power of the oppressor is neutralized around my life. It's too late. I have been delivered already. Say, I've been delivered already. Come on, I've been delivered already. See, some of you, God is going to use your hand to bring deliverance to others. Hallelujah. You are delivered already. And you want to affirm that in prayer this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I'm delivered already. Say, in my going out and in my coming in, I am safe, I am sound, and I am secure. In the name of Jesus, I declare I am heavily protected. I am heavily defended. In the name of Jesus, the power of the enemy will not flood over my life. Say, in the name of Jesus, all around my life is the power of God. I affirm in prayer, in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice one more time. Kada la satala baya, rebo shatala kasatala baya, rene mesuka paradeko sate, le barakuske telebo shaba, lendom bandengo sakataba. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Bala kasata la mandala baha. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Come on, open your mouth and pray. I'm so delivered. I'm so delivered. I'm so delivered. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I affirm I'm delivered. I affirm. I affirm. I affirm. I affirm I'm the saved one. I affirm in the name of Jesus. All the power of the enemy is broken around my life. I affirm in the name of Jesus. Shada Bahaya. Come on, affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it.
We trust you've been blessed by this message. This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawom, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
Kobaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.